always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
How about centers? Centers are basically anybody I talk to, you know, will come back and say, yeah, the Lakers are pretty frantically working around the league to try to land themselves a center, right? We've heard, I reported their interest in Khalil Ware as part of that eventual Giannis trade to Milwaukee, if that trade expands before it's officially put into place. I have told you guys about their interest in Isaiah Stewart as well. You know, we know that Stewart is out there and available, and I think the Lakers would like to get their hands on him if they run out of other options elsewhere. But you know, I've told you guys about their attempts at landing Walker Kessler. I've told you guys about their attempts at landing Ezmisi, who they liked dating back to last year. So, you know, in the draft, they've liked Robert Williams for a long time. And were just kind of nervous about him, because of his health questions. Now, he didn't exactly answer those health questions, playing in 59 games and only about 17 ish minutes per game in the games that he was able to play while they were basically keeping him in plastic wrap to keep him available for the playoffs, where, like, by the way, I thought he played really well against Wemby in that Blazers Spurs first round series. So, like, Robert Williams is somebody who I think we should probably keep an eye on in free agency. Mitchell Robinson is considered likely even to leave New York. So if he departs, then that is a player that the Lakers, if I remember correctly, Mitchell Robinson was one of the players that the Lakers worked out individually during the draft process and liked him quite a bit. So he's somebody who I believe that the Lakers will continue to kick the tires on and keep an eye on. But the Lakers, they have DeAndre Ayton and his player option decision, which has to come in the next 5 days or so. They have Jackson Hayes as somebody who a lot of people expect that, will eventually re-sign with the Lakers. If Hayes re-signs, I think there's a decent shot that he re-signs at a number above the veteran minimum, so that the Lakers have like a mid-tier salary that would be expiring that they could use in trades potentially. So keep an eye on that as a possibility. If they are successful in trying to trade into the second round of tonight's draft, the center spot will be a focus there. I mean, hell, they could buy a second rounder and then turn around and trade it for somebody who might be available now. So, via trade. So they're doing everything that they can. Obviously they no longer have the first round pick, that they used last night at their disposal as they look to try to trade for a center. We also know that Rob Pelinka doesn't like to go into a season without a first rounder at his disposal. So I would be pretty surprised. Like it would have to be like a bona fide stud for the Lakers to use multiple first rounders on a trade target at the center position. I know a lot of people are hoping that they trade for like a Herb Jones or a Trey Murphy, but everybody around the league is kind of rolling their eyes at how high the Pelicans have set prices on those guys. So tonight it's going to be an active night. It's going to be an active second round of the draft tonight. And the Lakers, I'm told, are incredibly active on several fronts, but kind of sort of starting at the center spot. All right. Let's go ahead and dive on into some of your guys' questions. We have some supers, which means we get to play the most important sound on the show.
Run it back! Run it!
Whoa, 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 whoa! Producer, what the hell?
Fuck Washington!
All right, so the first question here that comes from Intellus Wild is, the deal is horrible. This management sucks. Fuck Boston. Well, agreed on the final aspect of this comment. Still very iffy about the front office and whether they should stick around long term. The one thing that I will say, and I have said all along throughout this thing, is that, you know, if this summer doesn't go to, you know, isn't as successful as Rob Pelinka promised it would be, I do think Mark Walter and his people will kind of start, you know, some conversations around the league to see who might be available to replace Rob Pelinka, you know, in the next couple of years or so. I would prefer it to be like, if this summer isn't very successful, and like, if they basically go into next year with a lot of the same, like if with basically the same roster as last year, I would say like, it would be completely within fans' right to start, you know, the fire Rob movement. Now I did like last night's pick. I wasn't exactly thrilled when I looked around the league and I saw these giant rooms filled with people that whose opinions and voices were going into their draft decisions. That doesn't mean that the Lakers are incapable of making a bad draft decision, but it did stand out how small the Lakers draft room was last night compared to basically every other draft room that I saw. So that stood out quite a bit. And as far as like this deal being horrible, like I think it really kind of depends on your expectations. Like I wasn't exactly shocked when I saw this number. I was made, you know, it's perfectly fine for fans in this CBA to maybe hope that guys take a little bit, a little bit less, so that, you know, their team can have that much more flexibility. But Austin's number doesn't vote, like, because I think that the Lakers are probably going to operate as an above the cap team in some way, shape, or form this year. And if they do that, then Austin's number this year doesn't really impact their efforts in that regard. And I don't know. Like I'm not willing to call this deal horrible. Now, could it be horrible? Yeah, like it could, right? If Austin returns next year and is the exact same player at $41 million as he was at 14, then yeah, I would probably say that would be a kick in the nuts. The Lakers expect him to improve. He has improved every year that he's been in the league. And look, the other thing I'll say about this contract makes, you know, takes Austin from fun story to this point, huge organizational win to this point, to now, all right, man, like it's go time. And now, you know, I believe he would accept that challenge. He and his camp are very aware of what that means. And I would 100% believe that Austin is going to continue to improve to make it so that this deal isn't horrible. But now that he is getting paid like this, the gauntlet has been thrown and he is now expected to perform at and above that level, especially if, as this contract was built out to be, especially if he is looking for another big contract beyond this one, then you really better put up over the next 3 to 4 years. So we'll see how this plays out. I'm not willing to call it horrible, but I also will grant you guys the possibility that it could be if Austin doesn't take another step forward next year from what we saw last year. Next comment that I can get to here comes from Ryan Lucas. Trevon Brazil on LA's radar. Rodder, wow. For the second round. MPJ with age. So as far as like the specifics of who the Lakers are targeting, that's not I haven't really heard that. It's an incredibly small, like as we saw last night, an incredibly small draft room. I had heard that there was some intrigue in Cam Carr. The Lakers were really reluctant to put it out there that Cam was somebody that they liked, because as he started falling, it was like, no way. And then eventually he did, and the Lakers didn't want any other team to get the sense that they wanted him and you know, to be able to use that against them to, you know, to really force them to move up to grab Carr. But yeah, I think that, you know, as far as Brazil in particular, I honestly haven't really heard much about him. I'll Google him and I will find some clips on him, in preparation for tonight's draft. The first thing that we have to find out that I'm, you know, going to continue working on is what area in the draft that the Lakers, are, you know, successfully or at least making some progress at buying into. And then from there, we'll get a sense of like who might be available in that area, what else the Lakers might be doing to move up beyond that spot and where they might finally wind up. All of that good stuff hopefully leads to, you know, a solid second round pick. All right, the next question here comes from, the next comment comes from, where is it? Come on. Let's Run UNLV writes, this contract kind of guarantees that Austin will be traded at some point for Austin. This contract kind of guarantees that Austin will be traded at some point. There's no period there. For Austin, it's an A+. For the Lakers, for the Lakers, it's an F-. Awful day for chip aspirations. I don't know. Like, so Trae Young signed his contract yesterday that starts in like the 50s, right? Like he signed a giant contract. And to me, how I grade a contract is not just necessarily what kind of production I'll get from the player on that contract, but almost more importantly, which teams are going to be willing to trade for that player at that contract. And in like just very quickly asking around the league, you know, like, would this be a deal that teams would, you know, be open to trading for? I was told yes, that yeah, like there's a reason Detroit was ready to max this dude out, allegedly. There's a reason that Brooklyn was, you know, ready to line up a max contract for Austin if they didn't think that he was never going to actually reach the open market. There's a reason that, you know, he was considered one of the higher tier unrestricted free agents this year, and that's why he's able to sign this contract. So like, so long as he comes into next year and plays slightly above to well above like the caliber of basketball that we saw from him last year. Shit, if he just comes into next season and plays at the level that he did last year at the beginning of the year, where again, there were talks about him at an all NBA, like in the all NBA discussion. Now, because he's a Laker, like there's a decent chance that wouldn't have come to fruition because voters don't exactly love this organization. But like that was a very real conversation. Had he not gotten hurt, he almost definitely would have been an all-star. So the idea that the league would not want to trade for an all-star in his 20s who can create a shot for himself, get to the free throw line, and create shots for other players. Like, I'm sorry, guys. I know that you guys are kind of frustrated with the fact that the Lakers aren't as close as we would like for them to be to winning a championship. But I don't think that Austin is the problem there. Now, this contract makes it so that if he doesn't live up to it, he could become the problem. But like to this point, I've never thought to myself, man, you know, the thing stopping the Lakers from competing for a championship is Austin Reeves. No, like the thing stopping the Lakers from competing for a championship is the fact that like last year, their best center was Jackson Hayes heading into the playoffs, and that, or 2 years ago, their best center was Jackson Hayes heading into the playoffs, or last year, their best center heading into the playoffs was DeAndre Ayton. That's their problem. And until that gets sorted out, that's going to continue to be their problem. Now, at this amount of money, Austin is supposed to make up for that being their problem. And we'll see to what extent he's able to do that. But I think people are hyperventilating over a contract right now. That sounds really, it is really, really big. $40 million a year is a lot of money. But like when you compare it to guys who are in that kind of price range, let alone making more, I think you guys would you know, stop breathing into a bag, or at least maybe start breathing into a bag to kind of calm down a little bit. Let's see. We got another one. Matthew the Sicilian. Hey, Anthony, been hearing a lot about his athleticism. What about his basketball IQ? Any sense on that? So that is, it's not the same. It's not a question to the same extent that it was with Dalton, or that it certainly has become with Dalton. I get the sense that Carr is more interested in learning and growing that developing that basketball IQ than Dalton has become, or than Dalton has shown to this point. Like Dalton basketball intellectually is the exact same player mentally right now that he was when he was drafted. And from what I've kind of heard and talking to scouts and through my conversations, what I've kind of heard is that like Carr is when he gets to the league is going to be more interested in learning than Dalton has been so far. So like a lot of times curiosity defines IQ, like, you know, intellectuality, you know, it's, and that's not just from a basketball standpoint. That's just in life. If you aren't like some of the dumbest people I have ever encountered in life were just not curious at all. You know, because it's through curiosity that you like search out subjects that you would like to learn more about, and you know, through enough of those searches become a more well-rounded intellectual presence or whatever. Like Dalton from a basketball standpoint, this sometimes I think gets in the way of KD with his basketball IQ, where like he thinks of basketball through this very narrow prism. And I think that has kind of limited his intellectual growth as he's been in the NBA. And I think Dalton is like the nth degree example of this, where it's like Dalton, you know, why don't you consider getting better? I'm a bucket. Okay. You know, like, from what I've heard about Carr, that is not the case, but you just never know, man. Like I've never spoken to this dude. He played at Baylor, which I guess technically is like a couple hours up the street from me, but that's about it. All right. Man, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of questions. All right. I think we are good here. So I'm going to keep this one a little shorter. Obviously, we went really long last night. And then depending on what happens in the second round tonight, we might get the plan is to record another series of episodes there as well. So I'm going to go ahead and pop on out of here. And we'll go ahead and see what else comes of, you know, Austin's contract and the Lakers' efforts to trade for a center and the Lakers' efforts to trade into the second round or buy into the second round. And if we get breaking news, then I will hop back on here to break down the breaking news. So have a great, oh, nope, we got one more. Greenlight Transport 8320 writes, wouldn't be awesome if we got Claxton for nothing? Oh, never mind. Rob already screwed that up. We can't get Kessler or Duren. Run it back with DA cooked. I will say the doom and gloom that people are feeling for the Lakers search for centers, I think is a lot better placed angst than how people have been talking about this Austin Reeves contract. Like, I am a lot more frustrated over the fact that you had years to plan for this, and when you finally arrived at the summer of 2026, your best bet was, hey, we'll make a really big offer to Kessler, like, which could cost you LeBron and Rui. And then if you don't get Kessler, then you lose LeBron and Rui, and you're worse now than you were at the onset of the summer. So, like, Rob's handling of the center position, at least so far, we don't know what is going to come of the next however many days and weeks or whatever, but I'm a lot more annoyed at how the center situation has played out than I am at the contract that Austin just signed. I think it's a very movable contract. I'm thrilled for Austin and his camp. When you like, and this is where sometimes my job as a reporter gets kind of difficult. I will 100% cop to the fact that I am not completely unbiased when it comes to Austin and his camp. Aaron and I have talked well into the night at various moments, like just kind of talking about like our paths to where we finally are now. Austin is a guy who came from nothing. Like, I think I can maybe tell the story now, but like when Austin got to the Lakers, the joke was that Rob barely even knew his name. And then he's grown to where he is now, where he gets this max contract. I think he literally made history here by, you know, signing this max contract. I think the first ever undrafted player to sign a max contract. He arguably could go down as maybe the best undrafted free agent who has ever played in the NBA. So, like, I'm a lot more annoyed from a basketball roster building perspective and, like, just, like, a personal standpoint that Rob Pelinka, somebody who you guys know this, I don't necessarily respect to the extent that maybe I should, as an executive, he made this, you know, grand plan of optionality based on cap space at a time where cap space, maybe like you can make an argument, has never been less valuable. And we'll see what comes of it. But as it stands right now, the center search has been a lot more annoying to me than whatever contract Austin signed at, whether it was this one, a 5-year max, whatever it was. Maybe it's because I knew this was coming, but you know, I'm also not going to tell you how to feel. Like, if you are annoyed at this contract, then fine, be annoyed at it. And then maybe Austin can either prove you incorrect or correct. And if he proves you correct, the doubters correct, then I'll sit right here and say, yep, all right, that was a bad contract. And then it's about, you know, pivoting at that point, if you're the Lakers, to bring in a player who maybe makes more sense than Austin does playing alongside Luka. If he proves me correct, however, surely the internet will put their hand up and say, nope, my bad, that was a good call. All right, that is definitely going to do it here. Have a great rest of your however long I'm off the air. Have a great rest of your afternoons. Make somebody else's. Please hit that like button. Please hit that share button. Please turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. Subscribe or please go to Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA. Make a $5 lineup of your own. Get 50 free bucks or 50 free $1,000 of lineups on Prize Picks. And yeah, I'll talk to you guys within maybe within minutes potentially.
Bye, everyone.